Penguin Audio presents Doll Baby by Laura Lane McNeil. Read for you by January Lavoie. Part 1. 1964. Chapter 1. There are times you wish you could change things, take things back, pretend they never existed. This was one of those times, Ibby Bell was thinking as she stared bug-eyed out the car window. Amid the double-galleried homes and brightly painted cottages on Britannia Street, there was one house that didn't belong.
Ibby?
Her mother turned down the radio and began drumming her fingers on the steering wheel. Ibby ignored her, letting her mother's words mingle with the buzz of the air conditioning and the drone of the idling car engine as she craned her neck, trying to get a better look at the house that was stubbornly obscured by the sprawling branches of a giant oak tree and the glare of the mid-morning sun. She cupped her hands over her eyes and glanced up to find a weather vane shaped like a racehorse, jutting high above the tallest branches of the tree. It was flapping to and fro in the tepid air, unable to quite make the total spin around the rusted stake, giving the poor horse the appearance of being tethered there against its will.
I know that feeling, Ibby thought.
The weather vane was perched atop a long spire attached to a cupola. Ibby's eyes traveled to the second floor balcony, then down to the front porch, where a pair of rocking chairs and a porch swing swayed gently beside mahogany doors inlaid with glass. Surrounded on all sides by a low iron fence, the house looked like an animal that had outgrown its cage. Her mother had described it as a Queen Anne Victorian monstrosity that should have been bulldozed years ago. Ibby now understood what she meant. The old mansion was suffering from years of neglect. A thick layer of dirt muddied the blue paint, windows were boarded up, and the front yard was so overgrown with wild azaleas and unruly boxwoods that Ibby could barely make out the brick walkway that led up to the house.
Liberty? Are you listening to me?
It was the way Vidrine Bell said Ibby's real name, the way she said Liberty, with a clear southern drawl that she usually went to great lengths to hide, that got her attention. Vidrine's face was glistening with sweat despite the air conditioning tousling her well-lacquered hair. She patted the side of her mouth with her finger, trying to salvage the orange lipstick that was seeping into the creases and filling the car with the smell of melted wax.
Damn humidity, Vidrine huffed. No one should have to live in a place hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk.
The heat, her mother claimed, was one of the reasons she and Ibby's father had moved away from New Orleans just after they married. Far, far away, to a little town called Olympia in the state of Washington, where no one had a southern accent, except, on occasion, the Bell family.
Whatever you do, Liberty Bell, don't forget this.
Vidrine patted the double-handled brass urn, sitting like a sentinel between them on the front seat. Her mouth curled up at the edges.
Be sure and tell your grandmother it's a present from me.
Ibby glanced down at the urn her mother was pushing her way. A week ago, that urn didn't exist. Now she was being told to give it to a grandmother she'd never met. Ibby turned and looked at the house again. She didn't know which was worse, the sneer on her mother's face, or the thought of having to go into that big, ugly house to meet her grandmother for the first time. She eyed her mother, wondering why no one had bothered to mention that she even had a grandmother until a few months ago. She'd learned about it by chance, when on a clear day in March, as her father went to pay for ice cream at the school fair, a faded photograph fell from his wallet and floated wearily to the ground. Ibby picked it up and studied the stone-faced woman in the picture for a moment before her daddy took it from her.
Who is that?
Ibby asked.
Oh.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?